Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
It's going to be better than Fury Road.
What if it is?
There's going to be two desert epics this year.
What's the second one?
Dune Part 2.
Ah, Dune Part 2. Rebel Moon.
The Scargiver, dude?
Yeah.
What about part one, dude?
I saw a thing and I was like, oh shit, that they actually have like lightsabers in that thing.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's chat GPT. Like, I don't even, it's literally, that's what it comes off as.
Yeah. You know what else is coming off as?
What's coming off as? Is it coming off as the Who Goes There podcast?
Yeah, hello everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 410. That's crazy.
This is Ree.
This is Jorge.
This is Betty Buckley.
What?
Who's Betty Buckley?
Yeah, who is Betty Buckley? What?
The fucking Tony Award-winning singer from the movie you're about to review.
Oh! That's
pretty good.
She's from Cats.
Oh, fuck, man. Yeah. No wonder.
That's why. Yeah.
It's getting worse. you could tell we love this movie.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah. Well, look, dude, pump your brakes.
I'm sorry, but you know what you're in for this one.
Do you? Do they?
I hope so.
It's maybe not, dude. Maybe
that's,
not.
That's true.
So how you fellas been?
Pretty good. Sorry, you were about to speak. I could tell.
No, I'm trying to think of something, but I'm like, nah, it's just the same.
Escuela, trabajo. I love it. I do. It's going well.
Yep.
Very empowering and all that good stuff and learning a bunch of stuff, but whoo, that's going on. You came and helped Sophia and myself out with a fucking water heater.
This is true.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm like, yeah, I got the shit drained. He gets there. Yeah, this shit's not drained, homie.
It's still 1,000 pounds of water in this fucking water heater, man. That shit was crazy.
But
once we got that shit drained, it went like papitas, homie.
Yeah. The whole fucking deal took like 2 hours flat.
Which was no big deal.
Including the drain.
Yeah, yeah. If that MF-er had been drained, we'd have been done in 45 minutes.
30. No, 45. Yeah. You still got to drive bags.
Yeah. But that was fun. I had a good time. I like doing that stuff.
Thanks. So the Oscars happened. We don't want to turn this into the Horror Hound Oscar podcast. But it happened.
It came and went, and it was normal as it could be, as in there wasn't anything too outrageous. You know, it was quote unquote classy compared to previous years.
It was very well done.
Yeah, the presentation of it, you know, the last couple of years it was like thrown together in some random venues and shit, and it looked like a mess.
So did we have any surprises and or upsets?
Zone of Interest 1-2.
That's almost why it was kind of uneventful, because every award that I wanted to win essentially won, or at least deserved it.
Pretty fucking close.
Yeah, very close.
Motherfucking Godzilla won for special effects, and that is dope as hell.
It is dope. And it's not as good as the other movie, but it's a better movie, so... You know,
two movies that have a commentary on nuclear weapons and shit, it's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, that was. But I mean, like, the creator had great fucking visual effects, but fuck that movie. So yeah, we get to say Godzilla Minus One won an Oscar, Zone of Interest won 2, Poor Things won 4, and Oppenheimer won 7. So there was not much to complain about.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
And now all these fucking dorks can be like, in the first time in Godzilla history, do we have an Oscar-winning blah, 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 kaiju? Fuck, man.
I mean, it's true.
It is dope. And to,
oh, was
to,
that you, dude?
Yeah. It is dope to see Godzilla win an Oscar and then immediately be followed by New Empire. Dude, that's fucking wild.
What New Empire?
That's what it's called, the Godzilla X Kong New Empire.
Oh, God.
Which you are super looking forward to. You are so stoked. We
talked about it on the pre-show.
Yeah.
If you want to hear the pre-show, you can go to www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. And they're $1, $3, $5, $10, $20. You get the episodes early. And a bunch of bonus content, exclusive episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Fucking even one of our cheapest tiers has the ability to get access to our Discord. And honestly, one of my new favorites is the channel that you gave birth to, the Next Trash Ass Movie.
Next Trash Ass.
That could be its own Discord.
It used to be called Moonfall. And then
it
was Plane.
Yeah.
And then Plane turned out to be fucking dope.
And then what was it, Kandahar or something after? Is it another Gerard Butler movie after that?
Yeah, that guy, he's something else.
Yeah, and then it became Madam Web channel. And then, so if you ever want to like all come together as a community and be a detriment to the horror community, you know.
First off, listen to the show.
Yeah.
Then be part of
Patreon.
Then be part of Patreon.
Get on the Discord.
And then just be me, because I am both a detriment to the horror community and a cuck. And a...
You have energy? Incel energy.
And an incel. So, look, dude, I...
don't say that.
Hit me with them. Remember those days?
Yeah. That's the thing. Looking back on that, collectively, everyone was clearly stressed out. Including the listeners. People were coming at, you know, we were coming at stuff hard. We were coming at each other hard. We're coming on each other hard.
We weren't coming on each other enough, I don't think.
Yeah, Discord was fucking scorched earth. Fucking character assassination.
Those days were bad, dude.
You got people fucking saying they came to visit and you didn't even come see me. It's like, what the fuck?
Hell yeah.
Calm down, bro. Go call your dad or something. You know what I mean? Give him a hug. Shit.
So yeah, join our Discord.
Yeah, it's super fun. Yeah. Oh my god.
Wait, so yeah, I'm not excited about that new cartoon Godzilla Kong movie with the robot hand.
I'm gonna see Robot Hand Kong.
Is it still Adam Wingard? Wingard?
Hell Wingard? Yes, it is.
He just said, fuck it, dude.
Dude, it's the trajectory of from Gareth Edwards to now is fucking crazy.
Well, and look at same thing with the guy who did fucking the Meg 2. He did Kill List. It's like, oh, we cut our teeth on these grimy fucking movies, but that was kid stuff. Now we're doing big fucking projects for Hollywood.
Did you see Meg 2?
We're fucking sellouts now. We suck dicks.
Did you see that one? Did you see it yet? Meg 2?
No.
What? It's wild to think about the dudes like you got like Adam Wingard and Ty West doing like major.
Ty West's fucking dope
stuff. He stuck to his roots.
But yeah, what I mean is like these guys were what? Adam Wingard was on ABC's of Death, if I'm mistaken, right?
And he did. And
to think
they
that,
both were, I
to,
think,
to think that they came from like those beginnings to like
VHS this was like
this
their
motherfucker
thing.
Is doing King Kong.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah, one went for the paycheck, but also it's his passion. You can tell he loves Godzilla. Like it's his passion. So and then you got Ty West fucking doubling down with A24 with his Pearl Maxine, you know, trilogy.
It's a quadrilogy now, right? I think. They
announced there might be another one.
Really?
Yeah, and they've been sitting on that trailer for a while. That has been building momentum because Pearl has reached like near iconic status in the last couple years.
I'm on TikTok. Courtney shows me all the time. Pearl is like the Halloween costume now.
The fucking I'm a star thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's a star. Listen to his movies. Just Adam Wingard. You're Next, which I liked.
Yes, same.
I remember Matt didn't like it when he was on here. The Guest, which I fucking liked.
The Guest is great.
And he called up his old buddy from The Guest, to do this new trash-ass fucking movie with him.
Simon Barrett, the screenwriter.
Well, yeah. I mean the actor.
Oh, the actor, yeah. Dan Stevens?
Yeah. And then he did that Blair Witch movie. And
so I have no memory of that movie.
Things started going bad. Then he adapted Death Note for Netflix. That was not good, and it's never been good.
Yeah, that was it. That was it, yeah.
The more you give him, the worse it gets.
He did the official sequel to the original Blair Witch. I didn't mind it because of some of the lore aspects. It was like handled by like a true fan of it. But the movie itself is, yeah.
Well,
it just copied a lot of shit from like Wreck.
Why do I not remember this movie at all?
Don't worry about it, dude. Blair Witch 2016, dude. It came and went, dude. No one cares.
I kind of do now.
I know, I'm just fucking around.
It's found footage, yeah.
What's up? Well, he's looking up 2016 Blair Witch so we can do a month of Blair Witch movies.
Oh, yeah. I remember. I remember. Oh, yeah. This was trash as trash. That's right.
Trash.
That's right.
What'd you watch, Jacob?
So, not much. One of them, we talked a little bit on the pre-show, but I watched Dune again in Dolby. I think I officially prefer Dolby sound over the IMAX extra 40% of picture. That's how good Dolby is. I don't think I've seen something like truly like the sound being mastered for Dolby as much as like something like this. The fucking scale of it, just the subwoofers, just
the water of life fucks you.
Yeah, the score is insane. The sand riding scene with the worm just sound like fucking NASA rockets just blasting off. It's just scene after scene.
Oh, man, speaking of NASA rockets, did y'all see that shit in the sky the other night? That was fucking cool as
fuck. I missed it.
Hell,
you like that cover story, bro? You like that?
What cover story? Oh, yeah, I did see that. Like, oh, it looks like they're fucking spreading the...
They said it's SpaceX.
Yeah, it's SpaceX launching a bunch of satellites. Mm. Mm-hmm. Likely story, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We got to see it live, which was... we walked out, and it was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. And then when a neighbor told us, I was super disappointed, like, what the fuck? Like, we were, you know, we've been watching X-Files and stuff.
You wanted it to be the Shimmer from Annihilation.
I wanted it to be something.
Something cool.
Some fucking biological warfare. Instead
of space internet.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's that fucking guy? But,
continue, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I also rewatched The Crow for the first time in years. The trailer came out for the remake. I wanted to revisit it. Corbin's never. Yeah, exactly. That was when he said, like, it's Crowin' time, I lost it.
It's no, Crowin' time.
Yeah. I liked it. It's fine. It's fucking bad as hell in certain. Like, the second half, it falls apart. Like,
it loses momentum.
You're telling me the Devil's Night is not all it's cracked up to be, brother?
Yeah. And we talked about it a lot on the pre-show. Yeah. So for the people not hearing that, look, the style of it's fucking dope. The time capsule thing, the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Brandon Lee is perfect for
the artistic direction, set design. The soundtrack was so iconic for its time.
Yeah.
And, it's cool. It's like you said, it's a time capsule film, and it'll be cherished forever, and it'll have like a very biased, positive, you know, score across the board.
Can't say anything bad about it.
Exactly, yeah. Because
he got shot on set. Did you know, dude?
I didn't know that.
Oh, dude, you know how he died, dude? Oh.
It's a curse, bro.
Alec Baldwin shot him, dude.
Oh, fuck. Fuck, she officially got charged with manslaughter and second-degree murder, I think?
The prop master? Good.
Yeah, she got... Yeah, which is good.
That's where it all has to stem from. It's like, I don't know why Alec Baldwin was even in the conversation. No, I'm just kidding.
He's He's the trigger man, dude. Yeah, she fucked up, and she was there by pure reputation, I think, because her father was.
Yeah, the father was the main dude. She was just. And besides that, I watched a movie. By movie, I mean I watched 20 minutes of it. I really do intend to watch it because I watched it.
What?
Thinking I was going to put it on in the background, but then I realized it needs and deserves my full attention.
Just like Dune Part 2, Madame Web.
Yes, Madame Web. I watched 18 minutes of it, and the moment I saw Jungle Spider-Man, dude. I could not believe.
Oh, yeah, the spider people.
Yeah.
It's fucked,
dude. I would totally do it on the show.
I'm down. My jaw fucking dropped. I was like, dude, this is actually this is it. It's doing its thing.
And that's the beginning.
Yeah, and you got fucking Ben Parker in it. I was like, what is happening?
Wait till she hits a. Wait till the dude jumps into her, hitting him with an ambulance in midair.
Yeah.
Fucking dope.
I saw that clip online. I got to a point where she was at like a baby fucking thing, some party. It was a baby shower. Yeah, it was a baby shower. And Emma Roberts plays Spider-Man's mom. And I was like, what? And then I just turned it off.
Mr. Gigi just released his video about Madam Web, and it's fucking amazing. I guess there's a scene where she is trying to open up a can of Monster for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, it was a Pepsi. Courtney and I were like,
Pepsi. I was like, the whole movie's a Pepsi commercial.
Dude, I was like, why aren't you opening up your Pepsi? She keeps fucking.
And then the little kid comes up with the drawing, and he's like, you saved me. And she's like, I don't want your shitty fucking drawing, piece of shit kid.
And Adam Scott's like, just take it, man.
Just take the fucking drawing, you fuck.
It was like he was like talking to Dakota Johnson, not her character.
Yeah.
It was wild, man, and it deserves my full attention. So, and I never even finished Morbius either. So I think it's time. I got to do a double feature.
I saw both those in the theater.
That's crazy.
Opening weekend.
No, but I am jealous. I wish I want. I actually immediately stopped watching on TV and went to look to see if it was playing in theaters. It's not anymore. So I missed my moment.
Yeah, 2024 is fucking like. It's been here a minute now, right? We're almost a quarter into this fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or a third.
Yeah, depending on how you look at time.
It's one of the most perfectly balanced years of good and bad.
It's right now, it's Doom Part 2, and fucking, we got some good horror stuff supposedly coming out with the Late Night with the Devil, hopefully.
We had Stop Motion, which was...
Jacob loved. He almost fell asleep several times.
God, what a...
You just don't like Tool videos, man. It's cool. You don't like fucking feature length Tool videos.
He's like, I don't even like Tool, let alone the fucking like videos. Tools?
Why is it stop motion? It's fucking lame. Yeah.
Hey, look, dude, if a movie's going to be called stop motion, I got to have at least 50% stop motion. Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
And we got Madam Web. And we got the movie we're going to talk about later, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Which is good. Is that it?
And then
that's it for me.
And then next week is
Late Night with the Devil.
Late Night with the Devil. Fuck,
we're gonna do it. We gotta do
it.
Let's get do it.
Let's get it going. We can cover the spectrum, the good and the bad, and the good being imaginary, as you, I'm sure, will agree on.
Yeah.
But Star Trek: The Next Generation. Suck the cock. Star Trek, the next
bastard from a basket. I can't
drink your fucking blue rock star, man.
It's sketchy. It gets you good, huh?
It's got taurine and all that bullshit.
Your dick's all hard, isn't it?
It's been a while. Dude, you're making me fucking sweat right now, dude. What you're like four layers right now.
Take off your jacket, dude, man.
I'm like suffocating.
You look fucking dope.
The tie, dude.
It looks tight.
Yeah.
Star Trek, the Next Generation. We're in season 5. X-Files, we're officially in season 2. And again, I haven't watched these things. Season 2 is dope as fuck.
Yeah.
This shit. Let's get it going. It's going really well now.
Okay.
Scully is still absolutely an idiot.
Shut the fuck up.
What an idiot. She keeps seeing shit. And then the next episode, it's like The Simpsons. It's like we reset. Like fucking... All this stuff's carried over from previous episodes, but her skepticism is back now. It's like, what... You saw shit over and over again. It's fucking dumb. It's getting there gradually, but...
You see it through the MILF.
And in a recent episode, she was straight up relegated to Mulder's fucking secretary, you know, which was like, good, this is a better job for you. Yeah. Right? You know what I mean? But,
No.
You don't get what I mean?
No. I'm actually gonna cry.
Oh, don't cry.
I'm hitching a fucking, you know.
Don't cry, dude. On St. Patrick's Day, they did a re-release of a movie directed by a fellow named Andrew Davis. Most people don't know who that is. But he did a movie in 1993 with Harrison Ford called The Fugitive.
Yeah, I missed that one.
That movie fucks! It's full of big-titty goth babes and industrial hellscapes. And it's got lots of gore. No, it's The Fugitive, you know? And it's fucking... I hadn't seen it in a theater since it came out. And that movie fucking... When Tommy Lee Jones shows up, it's fucking over, dude. That movie holds the fuck up. And I'm assuming They re-released it on St. Patrick's Day because it's Chicago, and they dye the river green. And that's good enough.
Yeah.
That's a good enough reason for me, bro.
Yeah. It was fun to see in a theater, and the theater was pretty packed,
which was nice.
That's cool. My parents love that movie, and you can guess with the year it came out if I've seen it or not. So it's unfortunate.
You bastard.
Yeah. You didn't see The Fugitive?
Nah, it's from the 90s, dude. I'm not joking.
It's a fucking
really... No, I know all of its praise.
Really efficient thriller. It wasn't me.
It was the one-armed man.
Yeah, it's been fucking memed to death before the internet by other films. I feel like something else. What else came out?
That's pretty much it.
We watched something else.
Love Lies.
Ah,
Bleeding.
Thank you, my God. Yeah, I would be remiss if Love Lies Bleeding. It's the follow-up to Rose Glass's premiere feature, which was Saint Maud. Mm-hmm. This is not a overt horror film. There's a lot more tropes in it than I would have expected. Some body horror shit, some psychological horror shit, and I actually prefer this to Saint Maud.
Yeah,
I was extremely fucking entertained with this movie. The performances are great. The fucking her direction is great, and it's super fucking grimy.
Yeah, and it looks a little lowbrow Coen Brothers-esque. Is that right?
It's harsher than that.
Okay.
It's grimy.
Okay.
Which is that's dope. Cool.
You're comparing it to Saint Maud as far as like you prefer it to Saint Maud. Is it that?
It's her filmography.
Well, no, but I.
She's done two films.
Yeah, no. But I mean, like tonally, are they similar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Griminess.
Okay.
Psychological horror.
Okay.
Body horror.
Okay.
But this is not a horror film, but can you see her establishing shots and the way she decides to move scenes and the way she writes dialogue? Yes.
Excellent.
It doesn't have to be the same type of film.
I wasn't saying that.
Then what the fuck? No, just kidding. No, but I prefer this one to Saint Maud.
Okay.
Because she directed both of them.
Okay.
And wrote both of them.
Okay.
And she has a distinct style, which, how do you know someone's style after one movie? Like, it takes a few movies to really get the juice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know Adam Wingard's style now is fucking CGI cartoon trash. That's his style. Back then, we would have thought it was something else. We were wrong. But 10 years from now, Rose Glass could be making fucking Power Rangers movies. We just never fucking know.
Mm-hmm. I'm just following.
I just picture you in court saying this right now.
No. I get.
The only reason I'm asking is because like we could be like, well, I prefer Dune 2 to Sicario. Like I just
because I'm giving her the auteur credit she deserves after two movies. I think she's in.
Yeah.
She's along like after this. Now I'm really eager to see what she does with the third movie, because it's not like a fluke. I like this one better than her first one.
There you go. All right.
Which is dope.
I can get with that.
And Jacob Seaver, one of our listeners, said it was boring. So, there you go.
Guess I won't see it.
Oh, there was a dude, I guess, in Detroit that fell asleep jacking off to this movie and got arrested.
Did he at least come?
I don't know, because honestly, there's sex, there's lesbian stuff in this movie, but it's not.
I think on Twitter you can see it, the uncensored photo of it with his dick in his hand.
It's really not like as lewd as you would think. And again, it's followed up with like a toilet full of shit.
Okay, but did you come? That's really the question.
I crommed.
Okay.
I psychologically crommed when Ed Harris fucking brought out his bug collection.
How many mullets are there in this movie? Two, three.
There's at least two. It's set in 1989 in New Mexico. Good call.
Okay.
And fucking, what's his name?
David Franco?
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It's like he plays his brother in 1989. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. That's fucked up. I don't want to talk shit about that guy.
1989.
What'd you watch?
Fuck, dude. So we went to go watch Dune 2, which was a fucking revelation.
It was.
Except
for Zendaya.
Except for Zendaya. In spite of Zendaya.
In spite of her being good the last couple scenes.
Yes. And then I watched Gone Girl for I think like the millionth time.
Mm.
That motherfucker fucks.
Would you say that's in your top five, Fincher?
Yeah, definitely. And every time I watch it, I watch it in a different manner. Because this time I was like,
you're on meth.
All of the scenes pre like reveal of the twist.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that you're seeing that through her eyes the entire time, and she's twisting it up, and I'm like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah,
that movie is fantastic.
And have you watched The Killer yet?
No.
The Killer and Killers of the Flower Moon are the two
the bottom of the year.
Biggest disappointments.
Yeah, well, yeah,
two of
yeah.
the greatest living American directors.
That's crazy to say.
I'm just kidding. No, dude. The more I think about this whole like him just Fincher getting cucked by Netflix, like it really sours that movie. It makes you really wonder what this movie what the killer could have been.
That's fucking news too. I forgot he signed another deal to extend his contract with Netflix.
Yeah,
dude. That's fucking sad. I'm sorry, Jorge. Go on.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
That's fucked.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I kind of miss like. Fincher's movies coming out in a theater and not made with that fucking thing you were talking about.
Yeah. Stupid camera.
Netflix specified cameras and shit. Yeah. It's crazy.
Speaking of specified cameras, have y'all seen this shit of M. Night's daughter creating a movie?
Oh, yes.
You heard about
What's the deal with that?
I don't know. Because the first time I saw the trailer, I'm like, oh, it's a new Shyamalan movie. And it's like, no, it's his fucking daughter. I would imagine... Does the apple fall far from the tree, you know?
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Like, yeah.
I know. It's like a Cronenberg.
It's just a fucking... Yeah, but it's like there's... Dude, that's fucking great. That's great. No, I'm sorry. It just hit me. It's like... Because I fucking hate Shyamalan's output the last fucking... Like, since The Sixth Sense. I'm not even big on Unbreakable and shit, really. And Signs is like 30 minutes of it is good. The rest of it is like Mel Gibson talking about faith and shit. Which is like, what is this? But like the Cronenberg family versus the Shyamalan family.
I know daughter Cronenberg's coming out with her first movie.
And it's a dystopian thriller, a dystopian satire.
Yeah.
And fucking Jorge's like, dystopian satire? Can this family do anything else? It's like, yeah, like, you know, way to fucking really individuate yourself from the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's up with that movie? I saw the trailer, and more will be revealed.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks kind of like a shitty movie of her dad so far,
which is something.
Yeah,
which is something.
What are you watching over there? We got.
I've just got the Terrifier. I've got the imaginary IMDb page playing, and there's like some weird trailer thing going on in the background. But whatever.
What else did you watch?
I think that's pretty much it.
When was the last time you saw The Fugitive?
The Fugitive has been literally decades.
That's what I mean. And like, I'm uninclined to like watch it at home because it's like I've seen it too many times. In a theater, it was fun though.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll probably be it, you know, forever.
Just one last time and that's it?
Yeah. Have you guys heard about the Nolanisto? That's Christopher Nolan. He's talking about his follow-up already.
I heard. I don't know anything besides that there's a follow-up.
The Prisoner.
Was there something like he wouldn't have minded creating a horror film or something like that?
He said that, but he said he's searching for the right story. And then he's like, and it was cool. He talked about how horror has a lot of things that are, it's off limits in other genres. So abstract stuff and a lot of things that are off limits in other genres are like fucking accepted in horror movies. And he means in a bankable sense. Like the studio is unlikely to throw money behind a project with those things unless it's a horror movie. If it's bleak, those kind of things. And it's a good point. That's like horror is for that stuff. It's you get the green light for all that shit that's not allowed in the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he said he has a hard time finding a story. But then, you know... Tenet was it.
It isn't fucking Oppenheimer a horror story, dude.
I like that, dude.
So, yeah, he's doing the Prisoner remake, and that's his first remake since Insomnia.
That's the adaptation, yeah. That's the rumor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really well-regarded British series with Patrick McGoohan.
Mm.
McGoohan. From Scanners. But he was younger. Okay. It's fucking supposed to be dope. It's supposed to be very mind-fucky. But, yeah.
All right. Anyway. Mm. Should we get to it?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Is it time?
Do you want to put a song? Do you have time to put a song?
Maybe.
Okay.
If we think about it, talk about it.
If you're lucky and you're listening to this, you'll hear a song right here.
Whoa!
Or you won't.
It's time to get stuckmanized.
Cuckmanized. Is that what he says?
Yeah, he said, but well, at least before he used to say, it's time to get stuckmanized, I think.
Even that's before he got all cuckmanized, yeah. I didn't like those bits in his little song. I only got to see Stuckman before he became Cuckman for a very short period of time.
The just pre-directorial debut of Stuckman?
Yeah.
Well, we certainly won't have any of that here because A, we're not going to direct any films, and B,
I would still like to.
Yeah.
B, you know, we're not going to hold back any punches.
No.
Nah, dude.
No, I mean, we can't. What's the point of doing this?
What is the point of
doing this? Especially, literally, we're going to sit here in a fucking room and act like we like this movie. Oh, go on.
What? I mean, look.
What movie?
What movie, dude? We're talking about 2024's Imaginary, a PG-13 horror film directed by Jeff Wadlow.
He's a good man.
Written by Greg Erb, Jason Orumland, and Jeff Wadlow. Starring DeWanda Weiss. Weiss? Tegan Burns, Piper Braun, Betty Buckley, Tom Payne.
She's this Shakespearean trained actress of the bunch.
The dude who played Jesus in Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Holy, I fucking knew it. God damn it. Well, anyways, the Who Goes There podcast watched 2024's Imaginary. And imagine this. Imagine a world where they made a film about an imaginary friend. And it was good.
Oh. Drop Dead Fred?
Imagine a world where they created a movie about an imaginary friend that was a bear. And it was good.
Oh. Not Inside Out.
Not Inside Out.
Oh, Bing Bong.
Imagine a world.
Bing Bong in this movie.
Imagine a world where there's a movie about a stuffed animal that animates. And it was good. What's that one with fucking Marky Mark?
Ted.
Imagine it was Ted. Well, this is
Ted too.
I don't even know if Ted is good, to be honest with you.
Probably not anymore.
Jacob, what do you think of Imaginary, brother?
I think Imaginary is a perfect showcase of everything that is wrong with mainstream commercial horror. It's clean, it's artificial. It feels like it was just pumped out by the Blumhouse machine, you know, it's part of their money-making formula. It's fucking, you know, they'll make 10 of these and then make one okay to decent, you know, movie afterward. And, you know, that's just what they stick to. But, you know, with all that said, it's still 100% more of a good time than Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah! Holy shit, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I literally... fucking forgot everything about this movie I had to rewatch it again.
We're gonna bring it back up to you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me take you through a little history lesson here. So this director.
Oh, you're gonna do it,
Jeff Wadlow, also known for a little film called.
This is a multiple offender.
A little film called Kick Ass 2.
Oh well. That's his best movie.
That's what I mean. I'm starting at the peak.
Okay,
I'm starting at the peak
by far, and that movie sucks.
Yeah, he peaked. Okay.
Followed shortly by Truth or Dare.
Blumhouse's Truth or Dare.
Woo! Then followed by Fantasy Island.
Did you ever see that shit, Jacob?
In theaters.
That shit was fucking wild.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trash.
So we have watched. Some bad films.
Yeah.
In the recording of this show.
You have.
Films that we have subjected ourselves to on purpose. Films that have no redeeming qualities to them.
Mm.
We've got movies like Pig, which...
Oh, you mean... Yeah.
we've got, you know,
August Underground,
Slaughtered Vomit Dolls, all of this stuff, which I think we should dip our toes back into. I know we're trying to, like, we got to do that stuff for, like, Patreon, I think.
Yeah, we got to do some of that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done a trash-ass trash movie. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about a movie like Imaginary, which is so devoid of personality and so devoid of anything of substance that you could call good filmmaking or emotional attachment to any of your characters, I don't think I have seen a movie that has been so insidiously soulless in a really long time. I'm 3/4 of the way through this motherfucker, and I go, dude, when they get to the thing that we're going to talk about, the
Chauncey.
Well, even past that, even like
you're talking about, it's
the never after, the never ever,
yeah, yeah.
Insidious, dude.
The Insidious shit. Up until that point, like, I go, this is a bad movie. That is host to terrible children actors, terrible adult actors, terrible teenage actors. There is not a stylistic thing that I am vibing with in the very least. Sound, terrible. Cinematography, the worst. But then you hit Act 4, and it suddenly becomes a magical trip through Imagination Land.
Yeah. You like that part?
And then it becomes a revelation, and we can talk about it.
Go ahead. She throws on the shit on the wall?
Bro, go ahead.
And the doll eyes?
I love that.
So, look. Blumhouse gets a lot of shit, right? And for good fucking reason. I mean, let's be clear. That being said, I do think there are some outliers. I guess that's pronounced outliers, right? I still...
Still got a problem with that, huh?
Yeah, but, like, you know, Jordan Peele's Get Out is Blumhouse.
Yeah, even their non-horror movies are astounding, like fucking Whiplash.
Well, and that was, like, fucking before they were... Yeah, that's right. That's before Jason Blum was like, I want to just invest in trash horror movies because they turn over a buck real quick. But, I mean, they got the whole Paranormal Activity series and all this. But, like, as Jorge mentioned, Jeff Wadlow, like, he's done 3 of the absolute worst Blumhouse movies, which is quite a fucking accomplishment. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only ones that are close to his area of expertise in making bad fucking mainstream horror movies are, like, Lazarus Effect, Sinister 2, The Gallows... The Gallows 2, which is supposed to be even worse.
Yeah.
And then we got, of course, last year's Exorcist Believer, which, you know...
Believer!
It wasn't just bad, it was fucking insulting.
Believe that.
And downright tragic. And I'm pretty sure they had fucking Friedkin killed a couple months... No. the movie...
He deserved it after that.
You guys, what you said, absolutely. There's not a single scene or moment in this movie that... ever comes together well. I'm not exaggerating. No moment ever in this movie is done well.
Yeah.
And very few of them are even conceived well, because even the baseline that could be acceptable ideas for a scene are so fucking derivative.
Yep.
Like, it's like, dude, and it keeps referencing Pixar, and it's like, oh, this is like, oh, Monsters, Inc. And like fucking... And they keep talking about, did they talk about Inside Out? Oh, because of Bing Bong.
Yeah.
They mentioned that by name.
Toy Story and the whole deal.
Which is like, that's like fucking, this is not a fresh reference, number one.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking, and we're like post-COVID, so I think these kind of references really don't land.
Yeah.
Like, in the post-COVID world, it's like, don't fucking reference shit before. Like, it's bad. Like, it's hitting me wrong. And also, it's just fucking desperate.
Yeah.
But like, these actors and the main lady, and then like the fucking dad of these kids
the British fuck.
Yeah, he's like, how'd you sleep? Spider? The spider? Like, I'm like, dude, this is fucking, I'm laughing out loud in the theater.
Yeah, his whole character is like, first off, unneeded. Like,
the dad?
The dad.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna, are you sure you don't want me to go on this tour? And it's like, what the fuck?
His hat when he goes on the tour, it's like, you're in the gayest band ever.
Yeah, dude, it's some indie Christian band. Like, it's, and he's gotta go on tour and leave his children behind. And,
and then it's like, do you believe he's her dad? No. Do you believe that he—that's his new wife? No. But, do they have any chemistry? No.
Yeah, the whole fucking thing is unearned because you're dropped into this post broken family scene
dynamic, right?
Where there's nothing earned about it, right? Yeah. Like, you're just dropped into it, and it's like, we're moving into the house. Who knows what happened to the mom? Who knows what happened to her husband? But you know what? Stepdad, stepmom, or stepmom, she's doing her thing, and she's doing her best. And it's like, oh, fuck, what the hell?
Yeah. No, and it's a level of ineptitude to where it's like, see, I need to get closer. It's not just that no part is good. It's that the decisions made are absurdly bad.
Yeah.
Like, when the dad goes up a stairway to say it's okay, he's like, it's okay! It's okay! And it's like, whoa, dude, like, cut that and do that again.
Do it again. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
The stepmom's dad.
Yeah.
The fucking old age makeup. And
all of these, there's some weird decisions. Yeah. And then we got, like, the weird, I guess it's supposed to be a trope of the old lady in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
And those scenes are fucking bizarre.
I'll admit she's kind of the highlight of the movie. Betty Buckley, Tony Award winning Betty Buckley.
That's who that is?
From Cats. Yeah,
the voice of Broadway.
Yeah. She's well renowned. Why the fuck? And I'm like, why did they go after her? Like, why are like, you want to be in this movie? Like, no one fucking cares, dude.
Because of her ability to deliver some really good dialogue.
She was fucking wild, though, and she was like, with their imagination, we can do anything.
Dude,
and then she throws her arms up.
I watched this today in a theater with three other people.
And they liked it.
Well,
you could feel them not liking it, huh?
I could feel
it's great when you got normies and like just total trash taste people went on purpose and you can feel them not liking it.
I could feel them not liking it, but like nobody wanted to break the ice at first.
Oh.
And then I started laughing at shit that was like unintentionally,
absolutely
absurd, right? So I'm starting to fucking chuckle at this shit. Yeah. And when homegirl is in the hereafter and she goes, "It's imagination." I 20 seconds straight I'm laughing, and then I think the tension broke in the theater. Yeah. And all the other three people
they have permission.
So I'm like, I was kind of giggling to myself a little bit, like doing my typical thing where I'm like But I start fucking cackling when homegirl does that shit, and the my other three compatriots in the theater finally like they feel like obliged to finally laugh, and from then on out, I'm loving it because it's like it's doing some shit, and then on top of you're talking, you know, Rhett said earlier about like it's, you know, super derivative and whatnot, and I go, dude, they did the It thing. They're talking about like
there's like 50 movies in
there.
There's
like the Deadlights and then the Spider and then the fucking Thinnies and all of this shit, and I go, bro, does this dude have an original thought in his little peanut head?
Again, it's like ChatGPT.
I was
fucking weird.
I wrote that note. You mentioned Madam Web feels like it's created by AI, like written by AI, and this 100% is like, that's the new insult. It's the new, I think a critic said this movie feels like it was written on a napkin. Like, the new insult is it was created with ChatGPT.
You know what, though? Like, that's uncanny. No, because I'm not saying it is, right? But maybe because we've been introduced to that, it's not just a joke. Maybe people are being, like, fucking influenced by ChatGPT. Maybe they're just picking up those kinds of trash-ass regurgitated ideas now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a wavelength, man. It's a frequency that's going around right now. So you got fucking... I mean, because again, I literally think this is worse than Madam Web. Because Madam Web, like, has Dakota Johnson with her ass. This doesn't. No, I'm just kidding. That's incel energy, right?
Yeah, that is
incel. Oh, okay, no. You're, no, it has a few scenes where you could see her trying, and it sucks, but you could see her trying. Like these people, when who's they
little,
try
the little girl.
No. In fucking Madam Web.
Oh, Madam
Web. That movie's horrible. It's fucking. But dude, this is bad. Like this is fucking. And the year is young. It's early in the year
for this to be. Yeah,
fucking too early in the year for this.
Can I tell you my favorite, my absolute favorite moment in this entire motherfucking thing? So,
don't say thang.
Thang.
Oh.
So I'm gonna talk quick about a lot of things that are happening. So we haven't even touched what this movie is really about. So, listeners, if you don't give a fuck about this movie and you're not gonna watch it anyways, I'm just gonna break it down for you.
Spoilers.
They move into this house where our protagonist
has good luck with this.
Previously lived. Her stepdaughter is. She makes friends with a new imaginary friend who, as you know, as the story progresses, it becomes a little bit more insidious. See what I did there? Anywho, her mom is in a treatment facility for mental issues, okay? There's a lot of trauma that they're dealing with. But my absolute, absolute favorite moment is when the therapist comes to the house, right? And she's a very strong Latina woman, so we can hear it from her accent. We love a strong Latina woman who is also who is also a therapist.
Sophia's like, why is she talking like that?
We have a strong Latina woman who is also a therapist. So
she's like, yeah, can I get the quesaron?
Can I get a taco, a number two, please? She's talking to this little girl, and. She's sitting around the couch, right? And she has a literal supernatural encounter with this child.
Yeah.
A literal supernatural encounter.
Ventriloquism.
Where she is seeing on the screen something that's not happening in real life. Motherfucker, she goes to the stepmom and goes, by the way, did she learn a new talent? Maybe ventriloquism? And I fucking wanted to, like, I wanted to leave the theater at that moment.
Yeah.
But I go, there's no way it tops this. And we get there eventually. We top this.
Yeah.
But at that time, I go, this is the best line I've ever heard in a movie of ever.
Yeah.
Did she pick up ventriloquism? And I'm fucking losing it.
I'm like,
dude.
This is where you got, that's what you got from that?
Like, well, and then, yeah. Yeah, go on.
And then the second twist happens where we find out that the fucking bear is imaginary.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the
And they try to show all the flashbacks to the scenes where the bear's not there. And it's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, doing the Fight Club thing where it's like Tyler Durden was never there. Yeah. And it's like, no, this is not working. No,
it shows that there's three writers. It's like three people wrote three full entire scripts and then just merged them together.
Well, and all of them were bad too.
They played on them together, and then what they got was just fucking brown.
So film, it's a collaborative art form, right? And this is like obviously like a committee, like imaginary friend horror movie. Go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so you remember the group projects in high school? Where you like, they switch you around in the room, and whoever you're sitting next to, you have to put a group project together with limited resources in like an hour.
Yeah.
This is that movie.
That was my note. It feels like it's a fucking homework assignment.
Yeah. But they gave them like, here's $20 million, and this is your premise, and you've got these three script writers. Go!
Yeah.
And it's fucking trash. Like, this is what happened. And it's like, also, if you're like, in that group, if you're with like three other bass heads, you got to go along. It's like
you got to match the energy.
You can't swim upstream because you'll get nothing done.
You can't be like, look, guys, we gotta tone it down a little bit.
Yeah,
no, it's pure meth all the way.
Yeah, like you're just gonna be like, oh yeah, that's a good idea, and then you're like associated with the end product.
Well,
and it's trash.
Like I don't want again. I hate doing this thing where you're trying to pick apart a film that is inherently not. It's bad. It okay.
Well, it exists for cynical reasons too. I don't mean like cool cynical. I mean like exploitative.
So the idea of this film is that the house has a portal to imagination land, basically, right?
Well, hell everyone yeah, has a portal to imagination land, I would hope. And that's it, what I mean. It makes no fucking sense.
And it's host to a creature, right? Or an entity that inhabits a imaginary bear. Why doesn't it just imaginary itself? I mean, I can't.
They don't,
I
don't, no, no, no,
why
no.
Why am I doing this thing?
No, no, no. You're pointing out that the movie, look, when you're going to do a movie with this kind of metaphysics or whatever, you need to set some kind of you need to ground it somehow and have some thread, and it doesn't have one. And then it just keeps throwing these pseudo twists at you, which is pathetic, right? And again, it doesn't help to flesh out the rules. There are no rules. Like, what are the rules of this thing? Like, Nightmare on Elm Street has fucking rules.
Right.
Right? Like, that could be really bad. That fucking movie could be really fucking bad with that idea. But it's grounded and it has rules. And it generally sticks to them. And you got some really effective, besides the conceptual part, it's got some good filmmaking. Like, that helps. But this has neither. This has neither. Yeah. It doesn't have, like, a thematic thread. Besides, and no, saying imagination is not a fucking thematic thread. That's not it. Like, healing the past. Like, okay, like, you fucking have, like, you have, like, the first draft of a theme.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? There's nothing that, like you said, none of it's earned.
Well, yeah, it's a movie that is like it's created like from a thousand yards away. There's no
yeah. You can't connect with it.
Yeah,
which is dope. No, I'm just kidding. It's like avant-garde art
turned
piece.
Around on it.
No, but it's like it's impenetrable on all sides. No, but
it's like a box. No, dude. No, no. It's like a door that you have to like.
Look, here's the thing too. The imaginary friend thing. It is an interesting phenomenon. And it is something that goes on in all cultures, and they do have different... When they do that part where she has this fucking book that she wrote that's, like, the old lady, and she's talking about all the different names for it in different cultures, I'm like, see, this is, like... This doesn't have to be bad, because that's you're dealing with some real shit there. People have this. People do this kind
of
thing.
Man, when she dropped El Cuco, I was like, oh, I watched that shit two years ago. Fucking The Outsider, homie. It's like, come on, dude. Like, it's that, and it's like, it's a Pan's Labyrinth fucking ham-fisted fucking rip-off of the door thing.
Let's do the PG-13 Blumhouse
version. The ending, though, it's like Inception, dude.
So that's don't go there yet. Where they do that restart shit, that was fucking dope. And again, that's like Fantasy Island. Fantasy Island tries to do mind fuck, and I'm like, the fuck,
this dude,
David Lynch.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
But just trash.
Yeah, man.
There's like layers of cognitive distortion though. Like, yeah. What? Where are we? You know?
And it just keeps cranking. It like it never. Well, go ahead.
It does keep cranking. Like, but again, so is this entity in the house? And he comes in via the children's imagination, or is he conjured by the children's imagination, right? Not clear. Not that it's like, well, why does it have to be? Well, if it's not going to be, you need to at least establish atmosphere and have some good filmmaking. You don't have that, so you're just fucking all over.
Yeah, you've got a great point there, because if it's not going to be rules based,
yeah.
Right, so if it's not going to be like, well, okay, so they've got to knock three times on the door, and then the entity comes out, and then
yeah. If it's you need it with the blue marker,
and
smear the paint.
If it's not going to be that, then what they've established here is that nothing matters, and who cares?
Exactly, right? Because you have there's no stakes, because you're not, there's nothing consistent for you to fucking invest in.
Yep,
you know what I mean. And also, it's not like, given the tone of the movie and its general atmosphere, which. Is to say none. The atmosphere is goofy. It's not like you're particularly concerned about the outcome here. Like, I'm not really concerned. Number one, I don't care about any of the characters because they don't feel like fucking three-dimensional people.
They don't feel like humans.
Yeah. And the actors are doing a poor job of delivering bad lines that are directed poorly. No, I'm just kidding. No, but all the stuff's bad. So it's not like I'm worried about what's going to happen or care what's going to happen. I'm just finding myself waiting to see how much stupider it can get. And it keeps getting stupider until what Jacob mentioned. It does this fake out ending that fucking almost made me stand up.
It's so giddy.
And like put my hands up. Dude, like,
it is so giddy at that point where You know, so they get to this point in the imagination land where...
the imagination land.
And it's not imaginary. It's not very imaginative.
No, it's a hallway with doors. It's a
fucking hallway. It's trash.
And so, dude, like, and it's crazy. So they get to this moment where they're like, oh, we know it's her because there's a dog. And she mentioned wanting a Maltipoo at some point. It's like, okay. Yeah. I must have missed that part, but okay.
Yeah.
Dude, I was like, what was this?
Yeah, so they follow the fucking dog to this apartment door where one of the daughters goes, oh, this is our old apartment. And the stepmom is shocked by this revelation. Yeah. Meanwhile, she fucking lived there.
Yeah.
She lived in that apartment with them. Yeah. So anyway, they go in and the little girl is having a fucking like a tea party yeah. which is kind of a cool set piece, right? Like the idea that like her
well, cuz it's bringing to mind universal things of a tea party, and this is stuff kids do.
Yeah,
and
you're so like okay. the little girl's like dream of what she wants is real.
You know, like, what that was like? That was like Labyrinth.
Exactly.
You know what I'm talking about?
I got you.
Yeah, where
I got you.
You know what I'm talking about?
So she's in this room having a tea party by herself. and I actually, in spite of myself, was kind of like, okay, well, I like, you know, the presents are all stacked up. So she's been, you know, like, this is the child who's been, like, you know, neglected by her mother.
And with good reason.
Yeah, yeah.
She's an idiot.
She sucks.
She's obnoxious.
But man, oh man, does it fucking pop off after bad that. Teeth. Dude, the actual fucking, the bear, the sharp-toothed bear makes an appearance after that. And it's awesome.
You like the sharp-toothed bear?
Nope.
Oh.
But it's awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it is. Because it's fucking, it's absurd. It's fuck. Like, what are you doing? All of a sudden? And then there's that spider fucking thingy, which is fun.
Yeah, it, dude. You know Pennywise.
Yeah, it's Pennywise. And then Pennywise! Oh, I forgot. Earlier on, there's the fucking next door neighbor who wants to fuck the teenage chick.
That right? guy.
He comes over and tries to give her what he thinks is Molly.
He reminded me of Denny from The Room.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was giving off that energy.
And his face is real weird. And then, like, he goes upstairs. That's what I mean, too. This about the ineptness of this movie. Dude. Nothing works. Like, he's upstairs for, like, 10 minutes to go, like...
He wanted to go grab towels to clean up a drink that he spilled, which he never did. Instead, he takes a piss everywhere all over the bathroom. Piss
everywhere. And then we see him wipe his piss on the towels.
This dude was startled by literally everything. He walks in the house. Oh, shit! Little girl!
Well, because he's on... you're just tripping. Be cool. It's fucking dope, dude. Like, that shit is great. And meanwhile, like, does she exist downstairs still? Like, she's just like, oh, okay, I guess he's still up there 10 minutes later.
He's super abusive to this child.
Yeah.
He's like, fucking psycho.
Psycho. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? You fucking idiot.
That's good.
Oh, my God. That's good shit, dude. That's good. Nah, that's
well,
good
shit. And here's the thing. So, like, the movie establishes that the bear is... The bear is imaginary, right? Just well, ask the guy. He was there. He saw the fucking bear.
Well, more inconsistencies, right? It's like they came up with it later.
Oh, man, another...
We've already shot this part, so don't worry about it.
Another moment where I, like, laughed out loud in the theater, like, finally joined me was... So they're outside looking for the little girl... And the teenage daughter is walking the streets, and she looks up to his house, and he's in his room, and she looks at him, and he looks down, and he just fucking slides the shutter closed, dude. That shit had me rolling, man. I fucking loved it.
Yeah, she was the angsty teen. She literally says, "I'm gonna go take another walk around the block." I'm like, okay,
you don't do anything. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you going to feed Alice?
Or do I have to do it?
Bitch. And then Alley Cat. Her name's Alley Cat. Ugh. That was a good thing. A recurring thing. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Also, the again, it's not like it's made by humans because the lack of understanding. Well, the lack of understanding about you're the new mom. You don't. Like, I thought this is common knowledge by this point. Like, you're not just going to pigeonhole yourself in there and be their new mom. Like, you know that, right?
Yeah.
That's not how that works. The movie doesn't have that understanding. It's not just like the character doesn't. which would also be kind of like...
It's like the movie does.
It's like you don't get it at all. Yeah. And it's like, oh, these kids are jerks for being mean to her. It's like, they're like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Like, well, and the whole deal with the dad, and he's like going on tour, and he's like, are you okay with this? And it's like, well, okay. It's just it's the whole thing. Like, A, the dad clearly doesn't give a fuck about his kids. And B, this poor stepmom is just like stuck in the middle with these two asshole kids.
Yeah.
I love that he's going to come home to just his house burned down, dude.
And they're stuck in the middle with this like really, you know, ostensibly sweet, but actually psychologically manipulative new mother figure. Because she's expecting them to revere her. Overnight.
Yeah.
So, fuck you. Wait a minute. See, like, that shit, if this was Ari Aster's imaginary...
That's what they would be exploring.
Dig into that shit. Yeah. And dig into that neighbor who brings Molly over. Like, let's
get it going.
Let's get it going.
Everybody take Molly.
Yeah. Like, fuck, man. You know? Like, that's already more interesting.
Well, and that moment in particular, like, what are they trying to do? So, like, the kid has Molly.
But they're not. They're fucking but his they're mom's not. They're allergy
pills. Right? What are they trying to establish, though? That the mom keeps her allergy pills in a little plastic baggie?
I don't know.
Or...
That's what I mean. It's not like it's made by real people.
The mom is trying to cover her for her shitty kid, and it was actually Molly the entire time, and thus... His experience upstairs was a fever dream.
And also, he never comes back in the rest of the movie.
Except for my favorite scene where he fucking
that was
closed
it. You shutter. Think he would somehow return at any point in the movie.
No, and dude, he doesn't. No, dude, because he's been twice bitten, once shy.
Mm. Mm. There was just moments in this film where I just came to this realization.
You came,
where,
dude?
That's yeah, I came. I passed out with my dick in my head.
Okay, no. To imaginary? Yeah, no. The fucking bear comes out and you're like, oh!
Chauncey!
Yeah. There was a point where I'm like, this movie is literally for fucking kids. Like, it's...
Whoa.
See, but, like but that's not...
That's not fair to kids.
Molly is for kids.
Yeah, no, I was like, if you take the Molly out, there's no difference in, like, watching this than, like, Halloween Town on Disney Channel. Like, it's, like, the same shit.
It's a Goosebumps episode, yeah. Dude. I'm with you.
It's nowhere near as good as a Goosebumps
episode. No, I feel like...
It's like a linear sequence of events that makes sense.
No, exactly. I mean, me saying I don't even want to say it because I'm excusing it, because I'm like, oh, it's for kids. But no, it's not, though. But that's just the quality
of
it.
But you're saying on top of all this other shit, it's literally even if it was well done, it's yeah. Total like PG rated horror. Yeah.
Like Hocus Pocus is probably a scarier movie somehow objectively than this.
I think the only way this earns the 13, like you're saying, is the Molly and the pee-pee, I guess. But also when the old white bitch gets taken into the
white bitch.
Yeah, she
just
gets
to suck on a dick.
Just suck on a dick. She gets taken into the door, which is another twist. He told me to take you here, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, what have you been doing the last 40 years then? Fucking nothing? Like, what?
Nobody just waiting. Nobody has lived in that house the entire fucking time.
Yeah, like...
The entire time. And you know what, dude? This demon only wants one pussy.
That's what I mean.
And it's only hers.
These fucking rules suck. This shit makes... It's shit. Like, it's painted... This entity painted itself into a corner. He's a fucking idiot, dude. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, need this one person in this one area, this one way.
The unequivocally retarded demon.
Yeah. And then she gets pulled, yanked into the fucking doorway, and we see blood come out. There's the 13, because there's blood.
Yeah.
I think you got a good point there.
Well, and another fucking, another thing that I just is like, I'm super into, right? So she's got this list of things that she needs to do before, like, she can be granted access to the fucking imagination land. And it's like, bah, you know, like, bring me a fucking stick, and then bring me something that's gross, and then bring me a fucking blah, 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 blah. Well, we get to the point where it's something that is painful or something that hurts, right? Boy, howdy, that motherfucking scene at the end where she's like, and I don't appreciate you, and you were never a good daughter in the first place, and it is your fault that your sister's missing.
That moment,
she's all, that was brutal.
That was brutal.
She's all, that was fucking brutal.
That's fucking hard, Hemi.
We needed pain. We were missing pain. It had to be real pain. That was fucking dope. You remember that part?
As if.
You're having a hard time because it's been a while.
I watched it.
As if early, her taking a knife to her hand wasn't enough pain at that point. She had to be like, and you, bitch, you suck.
And what she said was not brutal.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, and at that moment, like the daughter would probably be like, you know what? Fuck you, bitch.
Yeah. Like, there you go again, being a fucking step-mom. Asshole bitch.
There you go, stepmom.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is why I don't want to fucking get to know you, bitch.
Yeah. Yep.
Like,
You're overbearing.
Yeah, what is this?
You're kind of a cunt.
Yeah. And you're fucking my dad. And that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Jesus Christ, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I came out of another woman's vagine. I'm supposed to be cool with you?
Well, and that's the other thing, dude. So the mom is like in a mental institution.
Yeah, which actually reminded me of, even though I only saw this like 3 days ago. Because I had like yeeted that part out.
And they explore this for 20 seconds. And then it's just gone. The daughter has burn scars on her arm, which is crazy.
Oh, yes.
Well,
scar. Look, don't forget though, with time, you begin to appreciate your scars because they become part of who you are.
It's true, dude. Fuck.
They literally say that.
Okay, so we
Fast and Furious type dialogue right there.
We edged ourselves a little bit and then we stopped short of talking about that scene. So Jacob, please do us the honor of talking about that scene. The one.
Which one?
At the bedside, bro. We didn't even talk about it.
With the dad?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Like, look. I mean, look.
No. I mean the. I'm still in it, dude.
Oh my goodness. The fake out. You talking about
the fake out?
The fucking Caroline with the fucking.
We didn't talk about it, man.
With the button eyes.
Yeah. We're missing the fake out ending.
We're missing.
We're missing the fake out ending. I said Amelia. What about a background of sand?
Oh my god, dude! Speaking of which, those guys did a Tiny Desk concert a couple weeks ago, and it was glorious.
That's what they fucking said.
I fucking loved it, dude. Matt, by the way, was like, S.A. Martinez, he's an idiot. I go, motherfucker, I would like you to be this good after 30 years. Fuck you.
Damn, coming out to defend S.A.
I would. Well, I mean, not that kind of essay.
The one essay.
Deadly on the mic, the one essay. Famous 311, and you know it ain't easy. Ha!
Ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding. But yes, the fake out ending, she recognizes she's still in it, and it's like, I'm still dreaming. Like, yeah, it's totally like Inception ripoff.
Yeah, she sees or rather sees the lack of scars on the daughter's hand. Mm. And that's when she kind of like, I'm in it still.
And then it ends again with another trash Blumhouse ending, which is just as happy. So
they do my favorite trope, and that it's you just set it on fire.
Yeah, just set everything on fire.
Just set it on fire
because ghosts care about fire.
Yeah,
yeah.
Boogeyman fire, fucking imaginary fire.
Yeah, they did the fire thing. What else? What else? I feel like we're missing. Oh, when she gets out of the tea party room, because remember she makes a new door.
Yeah,
she. Chaos magics a new door, right?
Yeah, yeah. So with paint and feathers because and books.
Imagination has power here. Like, no shit, bitch. It's imagination land.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? Why are you? If you can just make a fucking door
just
anywhere,
just imagine.
Just fucking do it. Like
you don't need to finger paint it, bitch. Just make it.
So it's like super arbitrary, way in, way out. And then like the other one though is like she can just get out. But I get it because that's not real, right? That's how she gets out the first way, and that wasn't real.
The fake way.
That's the fake way.
She actually has to be rescued to be brought out intentionally.
Yeah, and and it makes total sense that the teenage girl. I guess the idea is she got out and went back.
She made a new door.
what the fuck then? Because she went out the same door.
Then anybody can make any doors anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, the movie, like I'm walking out of it and Sophia is exhausted.
She seems like she would be pissed off after this one.
She was a little pissy.
Yeah.
I mean, she laughed a good portion of it, but then it's like she's looking at her phone after 30 minutes, and this movie is an hour and 44 minutes.
It's really long.
Like there, you can feel them again. Like, why did the guy come over from next door? Because they have no story. Why did this happen? Because they're padding time.
Yeah.
Like, and why isn't it an hour and 30 minutes? Like, I couldn't tell you. Like, at least make it shorter. Like, don't fucking do this.
Yeah, and that's like the other thing. Like, Jacob was mentioning the old wap bitch earlier.
Yeah.
And her initial interaction with this family is so off-putting.
Yeah.
Right? She comes off super aggressive and super shitty. She's like, wait a second, the adults are talking. Dude. And then after that, she's like super congenial and like not...
It's not a
concern. She was like, I don't mind kids except when they're violent. It's like, what?
Yeah. I don't mind children except for when they're speaking over me. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, come on, dude. Like, fucking pick a lane.
Yeah. She has no lane. She's just, well, you know what, though? That makes sense, though, because later on, it turns out she's working for the entity, bro.
Oh, dude, she's a fucking weird cop.
How many stars out of 5 for this movie?
-2.
Fucking 0.
It's a 0.
It's a fucking 0 for imaginary.
I saw it opening night because a friend...
Shut the fuck up, Jacob.
So, and
went like 2 weeks ago because we said we were doing it.
Sorry, your thing. So I literally forgot everything.
Jacob, you've got to stop doing this to yourself, brother. You have to.
Yeah. No, I didn't see it because it was opening. A friend invited us out on a double date.
Yeah, you did. You were like, oh, fuck. It looks tight.
Because I had you didn't know going into it that it was Jeff Wadlow.
No, right before I was going in as blind as possible. And I was like, okay, it could be okay. Who knows? And then
as blind as the dad.
Dude. Yeah. No. And then right before, and I'm talking 60 seconds before trailers start rolling, I get a text from you. And you say, oh, by the way, the guy who directed this did Fantasy Island. And Fantasy Island next to the remake of Black Christmas is probably like, and also Gallows. These are like all Blumhouse.
These are the worst.
Some of the worst theater experiences I've ever had.
Remember when a trailer, or rather when a movie started and Lionsgate came on? It was like, oh, okay, we fucking tonight. Now, dude, trash.
What, Lionsgate?
Yeah.
It's been trash for a while.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I just remember...
It's been trash for a while.
It's been trash.
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy, it's been trash for a while. Lionsgate, it's been trash for a while.
It's been trash for a long time.
Since 2007.
It's been forever since Lionsgate's been trash.
Yeah. This
is my imaginary friend voice.
This is Blumass, though, and... You know, they make it. You can't defend anything about them. Didn't they do Night Swim? Oh no, they didn't. That's someone else.
I thought it was.
Dude, I have a pool. It seems like I have a pool, dude. So I'm offended by Night Swim. Thank you.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you identify as a pool?
I identify as a liquidy.
It's more anti-pool propaganda. Holy but yeah, look, we got the horror auteurs, and you know, I know there's listeners that are just gonna hate on anything that's not like fucking Jason Voorhees. But I mean, you got your fucking Robert Eggers, he's 3 in, and you got your fucking Ari Aster, you got Jordan Peele, you got freaking Rose Glass, you got other people, and then you got Jeff Wadlow.
Which, you know, after
he's fucking going, dude.
After this, I will never forget his name. So he did that, at least.
That's what I said about fucking Fantasy Island, but I did forget. But I looked it up, and I'm like, Jeff Wadlow, I know that name. And then I was like, ah, that's why I know that
there
name.
There it is.
Yeah, he's a big fucking... He's not a threat, though.
He's the Alex Proyas of horror movies or something.
Yeah, because thankfully his movies haven't been successful enough to really influence, like, the industry. Like, they're not like, hey, let's copy Jeff Wadlow's formula. You know what I mean? He's not a threat in that regard.
Yeah. Oh, shit. She wasn't Split. Oh, no.
Oh, she's a psychologist?
No. Betty Buckley?
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, no. Why? Oh, she was in Frantic.
With Harrison Ford? Mm. Like Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic.
Let's think I'm tantric.
That's fucking dope that Frantic came up. After all these years. After all this time. So, next week, we're doing what's supposed to be a good 2024
is it movie. Though?
Late Night with the Devil.
Abu Dhabi funded AI.
You can't say that.
I just saw that online. Some dude was like, this is Abu Dhabi funded. Fuck this.
Create a movie that's a 1970s game show with horror themes. Go.
And it turns out good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it looks. I'm curious about it.
At some point, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was fucking around with AI images, and I can't believe how much it has advanced over the last, like, year.
They used it in Late Night with the Devil, actually. They used AI images for some of the cutaways of, like, the news, like, we'll be right back and shit like that. They use AI for it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So it's going to be dope.
Yeah.
And what's that actor's name? The lead in it?
David Dastmalchian.
The lead in it?
The lead in it.
Leading it.
He's the lead. David, yeah. You know who this...
I do know. What's his name? Your boy loves him.
What boy?
Your director boy.
Denis Villeneuve?
No, the other one.
Christopher Nolan?
Yeah, he loves him.
They both love him.
Yeah.
That's Villeneuve true. Put him in fucking Prisoners and Dune.
He's a great character.
He's an Oppenheimer.
Yeah. He's an Oppenheimer. He's in The Dark Knight. What do you expect to learn from him?
Nothing.
That's paranoid schizophrenic. Yeah. Kind of mind that attracts psychopaths.
I'm a big fan of him. I think when you guys a long time ago had Chris Franco as a guest back on the show again, he talked about he had a comic book.
Anyway, he would be insulted being called a guest. He was a host.
No, when he came back
as a guest.
No, I know he's a host. He would
still be
yes.
insulting him.
When he came back.
He could be a host whenever he wants. The chair is there.
Some people make a hobby of being permanently insulted about things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dumb.
Not Chris Franco though.
No, but he mentioned a graphic novel that David Dastmalchian wrote called Count Crowley. And I became a huge fan of it, and I actually have like a signed poster by David Dastmalchian. He signed it and everything. Fucking
funny ass fucking phrase. That's a good phrase. Yes,
permanently insulted. Always.
Yeah. How are you doing? Insulted. As usual. Feeling insulted.
Aliens hate it.
I'm fucking always insulted. It's no way to be.
I cannot recommend this movie even as a goof.
I'd only recommend it if you like watching shitty movies to see how absurdly... It is absurdly bad. I will say that. Oh, that little fucking song that plays when the little light show goes on?
Yep.
That's something else. Again, like not one good thing. Not...
One
good thing about nothing, you know what I mean?
the movie is aggressively incompetent.
Yeah?
Like,
it's in your face about it.
Yeah.
It's fucking it's confident about incompetent.
It's taking its ball sack of incompetence and just slapping it on your forehead.
Yeah.
Over and over
It'll again. Grab you by the throat and then just... kill you and then that's it. Yeah.
It grabs you by the throat the first 60 seconds, it doesn't stop.
And you never come.
Yeah.
You just
pass out.
You've just been edged the whole time.
It's like the Exorcist of bad movies.
What? okay, hold on. It's the Exorcist. Oh, bad. Wait, which Exorcist are we talking about? The original or the fucking original remake? Dude.
Like as fucking heavy as The Exorcist is, this is just like The Exorcist.
It's the anti-heavy.
It's the Exorcist believer of Exorcist believer.
Yeah. Exorcist believer is better than this movie.
Mm-hmm. You might be right.
That's fucked up. That's a fucked up thing to say. Because there was like a couple times where it's like, okay, there's a shot of the street that looks okay.
Well, this is the Who Goes There podcast, and you've just been stuckmanized.
Yeah.
You know, I know what goes into these movies. You know, I can't talk bad about it.
Right? I know all the work that goes into a movie.
We had that criticism one time where somebody told us, like, well, what's the film you've directed? And I go, well, I mean, okay, fair point. But
it's not.
But
not.
Fuck you.
I'm ready for that. because I have to be, because I've been preparing it in my own head, you know, like
for years.
Yeah, yeah. So here's the thing, man. When a little homie is watching his local, you know, hometown heroes football team and yelling at the TV when they drop the football, they don't say, "Oh, I'd like to see you do better," because the fucking guy dropped the ball, right? So how come it's different? Like, you don't have to, like, me not playing the fucking sport doesn't mean the guy didn't fumble.
Yeah.
Right? And also, I haven't made a movie that means that the movie is good.
Yeah.
like, what the fuck are you saying, yeah, man? Yeah, you just have, so, like, if you want to have no standard, that's cool. You can do that. Like, it's not like I don't like movies. I love movies. That's why I watch this movie. Yeah. And that's why I'm letting you know why it's trash.
And don't watch it.
And don't watch it unless you want to fucking laugh at some dumb shit. But that's not most people.
Watch the last 15 minutes and then you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you watch the first 5 minutes, you know what you're getting into. It's literally, if you watch the first 5 minutes, you know what you're getting into.
I would slightly argue against that only because the last 5 minutes are fucking crazy. And I don't think the first like 5 minutes are, you know, it doesn't quite inform that, but
it informs the level of, I mean, also for the court of public opinion, 4.8 IMDb.
Yeah, accurate.
And that's not like just a lot of fucking guys like us on there. And then it's,
you mean misogynists, dude?
Come on. No, let's leave that behind. No, but then, 53% user score on Rotten Tomatoes after 2 weeks.
That's pretty good.
So the public loves it.
Yeah. Can you imagine liking this movie?
That's what I'm not kidding, Jorge. If someone likes this movie, I'm not kidding. Like, I know it sounds like I'm kidding. Like, where's the punchline? There's no fucking punchline.
Read it on Metacritic, the user reviews. It's got positive user reviews on Metacritic.
That's, man, fucking bots or, yeah, some shit.
Dude, no. But look,
I'm seriously, people worry about like moral stuff. Like, if someone likes this movie, they shouldn't be able to operate heavy machinery. They shouldn't be able to operate a car. They should need a license to have children. Like it should be regulated like fucking China for you. Like, this is bad news. Actually, sincerely, I thought it was okay. Like, I don't trust you.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't trust you with anything.
I don't trust you. I don't like you.
You're not wrong in a few particulars. You're wrong in all particulars. And it doesn't matter that, like, if you're polite, like, what does that have to do with anything? It has nothing to do with anything.
Haven't we dealt with the trope of the Latina fucking therapist enough? Can we leave her alone?
I thought she was gonna say, like, you're gonna need
fucking no.
I thought she was gonna be like, you need an exorcist or some shit, you know? Like,
do you know what you need? Do you need a priest in here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my three granddaughters,
the fucking,
are not gonna be touched by this demon.
The teddy bear, its eyes looked all angry too.
Yeah,
you guys.
Yeah. There's
because who is that for? It's just strictly for the audience. Because she can't see it.
There's a scene where it turns its head. I'm in the theater and I'm like, "What, bitch?"
Aw, bitch.
It was the best, like, "What, bitch?" like ever, dude. Because yeah, it's been like a meme I'm doing with X-Files. Like when Scully says some skeptical shit. And fucking Mulder turns his...
You're just a hater, dude.
Mulder turns his head, and I'm like, "What, bitch?" Like, imagine Mulder saying that. That would be dope, right? But no. But Chauncey, yeah. He's basically like...
CB is his name?
Oh,
CB.
My God. CB, and she wrote it as S-E-E-B-E-E.
Because she's dumb.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't... Oh, my gosh.
And then, like, Sophia's in the car, and she's like...
They made it like it was a revelation. I was like, "Yeah, of course, it's Chauncey Barry CB."
Yeah, and then where'd she get CB from? I'm like, Chauncey Bear, like the initials, and she's like, "Dumb." But she's like, "If that's the initials, why is it S E E B E E?" I'm like, right. "I don't know."
That's more letters for a dumb child to spell.
Yeah.
Fucking A, man.
Yeah. If this sounds fucking like your cup of tea, you got to watch it.
You know what? If this sounds like your cup of tea, stop listening to the show. Unsubscribe. If you're on Patreon, get rid of it.
Don't say that.
No, I can say it confidently.
I mean, if it sounds like your cup of tea because you like absurd trash.
Hmm. I,
I stick with my statement.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You said what you said.
I said what I said. All right, idiots. That's the Goozer Podcast for episode 410. 410? This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree. Hi, Sophia. Sorry for going to this movie. at the beginning of a work week.
On our anniversary.
It was fun.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.